Okay, let's talk exercise because love it or loathe it, we all need it for healthy functioning. The problem is, when do we do it? Between work, the family and other commitments, the days fly past and then all of a sudden you realise it's been a week and you've hardly moved. Getting enough exercise can seem sometimes unattainable, but a new study from Swinburne University has unlocked a couple of ideas about how we can incorporate exercise into our work days rather than outside them. I'm joined today by Associate Professor Amanda Benson. Amanda's the Course Director for Exercise and Sports Science at Swinburne University. She'll be involved in this study. Amanda, hello.
Hi there.
Good to have you with us. Now, before we get into some of the results and what you've done within the study itself, just remind us, what are the global recommendations for how much exercise we should be doing each week?
So we try to get people to move about 150 minutes in a week.
Wow.
And if you think about it more, maybe 30 minutes a day of physical activity exercise.
Of what strength?
Each day, moderate to vigorous exercise, mm-hmm. And also a couple of days a week of muscle strengthening exercise. So weightlifting type exercises that work the muscles a little bit harder than usual. And the 30 minutes or 150 minutes a week is to try and increase your heart rate and breathing rate.
And of course, for a lot of people, if you're coming from zero to 150, that sounds immediately daunting.
It does. So that's quite a lot from nothing. So looking at how you might alter your day to build in some incidental physical activity rather than trying to go to a special place at a special time, there's things that you can do in your everyday lifestyle to make some good changes towards health benefits.
Is not having enough time one of the great excuses we all seem to have?
Yeah, that's the main reason when you ask people, you know, why don't you do activity? It's because of a lack of time or perceived lack of time. So trying to find ways to find or create the time is one of the challenges when you're working with people. And there's a couple.
Which is often a matter of perception, isn't it?
It is. If you change some of the things that you do anyway in a day, so the incidental kinds of activity, so how do you get to work? Could you get off the train or bus a little earlier and walk? If you're in a workplace that has stairs, could you use the stairs to get up and down? You know, if you work in a building that has 10 flights of stairs, you don't need to start at the bottom. You can go partway up in the lift, get out a floor early, and then walk those stairs and slowly build up.
And look, I'm not decrying that as not as, as being a great option. It is. But at the same time, Amanda, that can be a very short space of time in doing that kind of work. You know, whether you walk a block or do a few flights of stairs, that can be all over in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it can. But if you do that multiple times in a day, you are increasing your physical activity across an entire day. Also, it's creating an opportunity to break up sedentary behaviour.
As in sitting at a desk?
Yeah, sitting at a desk. And some workplaces, there's a lot of sitting. It's quite nice to see that, you know, this
we're
is a,
standing.
A standing desk arrangement.
We should explain that Amanda and I are actually standing as we talk to each other because all the studios now in Radio National have that, which is fantastic, that option. So when it comes to the study you've done, you've taken some participants in campus life at Swinburne. Is that right?
In a university population.
Right.
Yeah. So we have done a couple of things looking at, first of all, asking people what their main barriers and facilitators to exercise are. And if they were given choices to do exercise at work, what would those choices be? What kinds of things would they like to do?
And what did they tell you?
Walking was a main option that people were quite keen on, and the other one was gym-based exercise, so actually having an exercise program prescribed for a typical gym-based setting, which means you can do the aerobic part, which is to improve your heart and lungs, and also the muscle strengthening exercise, which is really important in terms of everyday functioning and chronic disease.
My guest is Amanda Benson. She's the Director for Exercise and Sports Science at Swinburne University, involved in this really interesting study into what role the workplace can play in contributing to an increase in the kinds of exercise we should should be doing every week, being aerobic or maybe weight resistance or weight training as well, and whether that can change our behaviours long term. We'll get to that in just a moment. But we'd love to hear from you as well. What have you done in your life, whether it be at work or at home or elsewhere in between, to really change the way you approach exercise so there are long-lasting benefits every day, every week, every month? We'd love to hear from you right now. You can drop us a comment at RN Life Matters on Facebook. Amanda, back to you now. When it comes to some of the ways that you then help respondents in your study get to where they wanted to go, what did you actually discover was the most helpful techniques for them to maintain and improve through exercise?
So we prescribed an individualised exercise program. So we had an accredited exercise physiologist working with individuals.
So tailoring to their age group?
Yeah, tailoring their desires. To the actual person.
Right.
So looking at, you know, where their starting point is, we did some testing beforehand to work out what that was, and then designing a training program that suited that individual and accommodated any needs that they had in terms of health or injury.
So you had about 85 participants in this?
Yeah, in that study we did. We randomised them into a training group, or several training groups, and a control. We were interested to see if you just gave someone a training program, if it was enough, if you provided a training program and a space, so the gym space on site in the workplace, or whether you provided the different types of supervision. So one-on-one supervision, which is what you'd get if you worked with an exercise physiologist in the community, or whether...
Like a personal trainer?
Yeah, but...
But even better.
Yeah.
more science.
Yeah. Yes, that can cater for chronic disease appropriately.
So there are going to be, of course, people who would love to take up exercise but have felt constrained because of chronic pain or disease that they've had for some time.
Yeah, so an accredited exercise physiologist is able to cater for all of those individuals and just tailor the program accordingly and safely.
So that's a range of options across those 85 participants.
Yeah, these ones were healthy or apparently healthy on the whole, because that's what we were targeting for that. But, you know, in the community there's a range of different people.
Yeah.
And it's possible for all people to do some kind of exercise if they're given the right supervision.
So what did you discover in terms of being the best response?
If you provided a training program and access to an on-site facility and supervision, whether that be individual or a group supervision, like you typically get one person supervising a group of people on a gym floor, there were improvements to health outcomes that are related to improvements in the heart, metabolic health.
Weight loss?
Some weight loss.
What about muscle mass?
Yeah, so we were looking at the composition of the body, so a reduction in the fat as opposed to the muscle, and improvements in muscular strength and aerobic fitness, which is great.
Yeah.
You got a little bit more benefit if you had the one-on-one supervision compared to the group.
But then there might be a cost implication there that not everyone can subscribe to.
Yes, and that's why we looked at both sorts to try and understand if it would be worth a cost investment, which isn't something we've looked at in terms of cost benefit, but something that we would like to look at in the future.
I'd be fascinated too, because there's a few factors there that you said contributed to the most successful outcomes. One is a program that's devised for that one person, supervised on the floor, maybe in a group situation, but also you mentioned gym facilities of the workplace. Be fascinating to know what return on investment in terms of work productivity came out of that kind of facility.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, and it's not something we particularly looked at in terms of work productivity, but it is something that researchers around the world have looked at, to obviously in relation to the cost-benefit analysis. But in a university setting, it's quite common to have a gym facility on site, particularly when you've got exercise and sports science.
Not everybody's programs. In a gym, though, in a university, though.
Correct.
Amanda.
Yeah. But, yeah, and that's one of the challenges. It's why we looked at it. But in other workplaces, it would be a matter of looking at other options to try and provide for those individuals in the workplace.
Well, one would imagine that some of the long-term benefits of that is, you know, improved health outcomes, which means less sickness over time, and maybe, you know, the amount of money you might lose in devoting that space to a fitness area would be made up by the lack of absences over time, maybe people wanting to stay in that workplace so you don't have to replace staff as well.
Yeah, and that is one of the things that people are looking at. It's not what we looked at specifically in the study, but it is something that people are looking at for those reasons.
Isn't there a hassle, though, that when people exercise during their workplace time, that they have to think about towels and, you know, fitness and uniforms and socks and showers and hygiene and la, 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 you know?
Yes, it is one of the challenges that some people don't like to get changed and rechanged and things at work. When there's nice facilities provided, it does help. Mm. But it's also one of the reasons that people can look at what they're doing within their day to see if there's small changes that don't require them to change clothing or go to a particular place to try and overall in a whole day improve your physical activity rather than just focusing on an exercise program.
And out of those 85 participants across a range of options you were offering in the study, how many just didn't end up going to things?
You always get a few people that do drop out. I can't tell you the exact number, but it's not uncommon.
I guess so, but you're saying to me that in terms of success, as long as you have an individual program devised plus supervision plus some facilities close by, then you're going to have less of that dropout occurring in terms of absences from exercise.
Yeah, making sure that you actually provide an environment that the people like as well. So you have to be personable when you're working with the people and they have to enjoy coming along. Some people like to do activity with other people. So it's the whole package rather than just providing particular things. It's how it's put together.
Indeed. And also, as you mentioned earlier, incorporating some of that exercise regime maybe into your life getting to and from work as well can be part of the process. Thank you so much for coming in.
No problem. Thanks for the invite.
Amanda Benson is the Director for Exercise and Sports Science at Swinburne, involved in the study looking at the way we can incorporate better exercise regimes into our working life. And Amanda's also an exercise physiologist. You're listening to Life Matters on RN and Radio Australia.